I'm standing in Mike Costello's farmhouse kitchen in Harrison County, West Virginia. It's wide open, long windows, natural lighting, a long island counter. Cast iron skillets hang from the ceiling, spices line the walls, a wood stove sits in the corner. It's the heart of his late 1800s farmhouse. It's a cold winter afternoon, and Mike is showing me how to make rosettes.
I've heard a lot of people refer to it as sort of like a lighter version of a funnel cake or so, like a little bit crispier, lighter. I mean, these rosettes, they're pretty delicate. When you pull them out of the oil, they look like they might be more robust, but that's because the fins of the iron they're kind of hollow. So you have the thing that looks like bigger and more dense than it is, but since those are all hollow, it's like this really kind of delicate pastry.
The rosette iron itself is similar to a branding iron, although much more delicate. The base is metal, floral-shaped. It's the part that is actually dipped into the batter and oil. The handle sticks vertically out of the cookie-cutter-like mold. Mike says the rosette can be traced back to many different immigrant cultures.
You know, I think rosettes were pretty common, especially in, you know, in this part of Appalachia, because you had so many immigrants coming, not just from Switzerland, but from, you know, Germany or Austria, Hungary, other places where, you know, you see this rosette tradition show up, especially around the holidays.
Mike's rosette iron was gifted to him last Christmas. It's likely it was passed down from his Swiss great-grandmother, Flora. She immigrated to Helvetia when she was 6.
I got really excited, probably more excited than I should have been about just like this little, you know, metal floral shaped thing with a red handle, right? But to me, it was much more than just like the tool. It was sort of that piece of my past that I'd been longing for. Like, I knew that there was this, you know, piece of my family's history that was up in the mountains around Helvetia, and we just kind of all of a sudden had something tangible to trace it back to.
Mike shows me photos of Flora. She's somewhat of a mystery woman to him. She passed away before her history could be fully documented. But what he does know is Flora was an excellent farmer and cook.
To have this piece of our heritage that if there was someone you could point to and be like, who's doing the farm to table the real deal way? You know, it was like, this is it right here. You know, this is...
She's literally standing with her cows and her chickens.
Yeah, standing with her cows and her chickens, standing with her amazing, prolific crop of pole beans that I see here in her kitchen apron.
Flora was doing farm to table before it was cool.
Before it was cool, Flora was doing farm to table in Braxton County, West Virginia. That's right.
So using the rosette iron passed down to him, Mike shows me how to make the pastries. He's using a traditional recipe from Helvetia. He starts with the batter by cracking 3 eggs. And he pours in half a pint of cream. The recipe calls for medium cream, so he's using half and half.
Yeah, we want to get the eggs and the cream pretty well beaten together. And then I'm going to add a little bit of flour. I'm going to add about 1 cup of flour to this. So I'm going to mix this up, and what we're looking for is actually for the batter to be pretty light, and this is a little bit maybe heavier than I want it to be, so I'm going to add a little bit more of that cream.
The mixture should be smooth and light, more like a pancake batter than a cake batter. After mixing, Mike always adds one secret ingredient.
You know, you need to put a little bit of bourbon, just a little splash of bourbon into your batter. And I honestly don't know if I've noticed much of a difference when I've put it in there, but it's kind of fun to carry on the...
Maybe for good luck.
Yeah, for good luck. You know, I've heard some folks say it makes it a little bit crispier, and I'll take it.
He then heats up lard in a skillet. It's about 3/4 of an inch deep. Mike says you want the oil about the depth of the flour base on the iron.
Cat Frida, she loves rosettes. So I'm gonna try one out here. I've got my iron in this hot lard, and I'm just gonna dip it in this batter. And you can hear it. That's it adhering to the iron. Again, I'm trying to avoid it coming up over the top of the iron so that when I put it in, it slides right off.
That's the sound of the batter-covered iron being dipped into the hot lard.
It's almost like a blossoming flower.
It is, yeah, off. Very much so. And that one's getting brown enough that you probably go ahead and take it out. It doesn't take
literally
much
like
time.
10,
yeah, yeah,
seconds.
I know. They're so soft and so delicate that they fry up really quickly.
The end result is a golden, crisp, airy pastry in the shape of a flower. It has 8 petals that are hollow, which add to the delicate intricacy of the finished pastry.
You know when you get it right, because you can hear the sizzle of the batter just like that. And
oh, yeah.
That's when you know it's like really sticking to it pretty well.
And then all the oil kind of bubbles up over it.
While we fry the batter, Mike is reminded of making Christmas cookies as a kid with his grandmother, Betty Williams.
She had a little kind of step stool, like a 2 or 3 tier step stool that my brother and I would get on because we couldn't reach the countertop. But that's a lot of what I think back to in terms of the holidays and tradition is, you know, being in that kitchen and making those cookies and wanting to kind of keep that up in some way. So now that she's gone as well, it's kind of like, in a way, sort of satisfies that desire for me to be a little kid again and spend time in my grandma's kitchen making these Christmas cookies, because it's like almost the same.
In a matter of minutes, I notice a plate towering with rosettes.
I'd like to point out that we have, what would you say, 2 dozen?
Oh god, we have so many rosettes right now.
and
we've run out of room on the plate, and we still have a ton of batter left.
While they're still hot, Mike adds some sweet toppings.
First, I'm just going to put like a basic powdered sugar on. I'm going to do a little cinnamon and sugar mix. And then I'll have some with some sorghum. And then, you know, one of the things that goes pretty well with that sorghum is so sweet, but I use a little bit of this J.Gu Dickinson salt from the Charleston area.
Mike grew the sorghum on his farm for the syrup he's using. It adds an unexpected earthy flavor. And then the salt marries all the flavors together. But the best part of the process is pouring a cup of coffee and eating a crispy, delicate sweetness that melts in your mouth rosette on a cold winter afternoon. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Caitlin Tan in Lost Creek, West Virginia.